Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 46, The Code Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we are covering Season 4, Episode 11, titled The Code. Written by co-showrunner and executive producer Andrew Chambliss, and staff writer Alex Delisle, and directed by a name that I don't recognize, Tara Nicole Ware. All right, we're going to get right into it. So, Mark, what did you think of The Code? How would you code this?
I code it an interesting, funny episode. I gave it 8 out of 10 toy trucks in a box.
All right, Kyle?
I gave it 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 7 Mississippis out of 10.
And this is an episode that isn't that bad when I watch it, but it gets worse afterwards. So the more that I think about it, and I just finished a third watch just now, and my attitude on this episode is no better. So originally I was going to give it the absolute positive worst rating that I've ever given any episode that I've ever podcasted about, which would have been a 5.9, but I'm going to raise it a bit and give it a 6.244. And if you don't get the 244, you will eventually. I have to go backs. Or 6.244 Ninja Cowards, or Weaponized Mile Markers, or my favorite one, 6.244, How Did I Stay Asleep in the Back of a Truck While It Drives Over 300 Miles of Mississippi? Implausible plot points.
Totally.
Or maybe even Maury, You Are Not the Father, Twins.
That's a good one.
Or Sweet Syrup on a Short Stacks. Or you could even say particularly floral IPAs with a hint of citrus. I came up with all of these, but anyway, this is the worst Morgan episode yet. And it's not the characters. It's not the acting. It's not even the humor, which I thought could have been better. It was the story, the plot. Some of the things I already kind of hinted at, but the actual story is completely implausible. It's hanging upon things that if you think about this episode at all, and unfortunately I do, the whole story doesn't make any sense. So I find myself podcasting about this particular episode with a pretty pissy attitude. I told these guys if they didn't wait for me to finish my rewatch, I was going to give it a 4. So, anyway, all right. Let's get some listener ratings here. Mark, why don't you read Steve's rating?
Steve Brown says, I feel like I could watch this episode 7 more times and still not understand all the character changes. 6.5 out of 10, half a point walkers.
That's funny. PB and Zane gives it an 8 out of 10 tiny apartments.
Sheriff Fox said 6 out of 10 playing tag with walkers.
And Claire Redderer says, I thought this episode seemed strange. It was convoluted and there was just something off about it. I give it 6 out of 10 awkward bathroom interruptions. Nobody likes that.
Yeah. Especially when you're doing number 2. And Glynis Goltz gives it an 8.5 out of 10 truck stops.
And we got one more. Kat gave it 6.7 Good Samaritan boxes. So, all right. Well, we've got some awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
All right, Mark, why don't you read the first one?
Cheryl Fox says, if there was anything awesome at all, the goodness of Morgan at the end making them leave the boxes.
All right, next.
Steve Brown's awesome sauce is Morgan seeing the coffee pots and trying the light switch. The conversation between Wendell and Morgan from the bathroom to when Sarah came in was hilarious.
Yeah, I would agree with that. PB and Zane said the magazine in the bathroom. So funny. Yeah, it was like toy dogs or something.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes you wonder if Wendell was reading that magazine before that. Because he had a Bichon Frise, which is definitely a toy type of dog, a little wussy dog. Yeah. Sorry if you own a Bichon Frise, but it is kind of it's kind of a wussy dog. Sorry.
Claire Redderer says, Lenny James Morgan continues to be a strong character, but good heavens, give him something to work with. I'm not crazy about these standalone episodes. The show needs more John Dory. I was surprised that my favorite episode of this half season was the one from last week because Alicia hasn't been my favorite. She's growing on me.
Okay, Claire, it is awesome sauce, right?
I was about to say. It was kind of
there wasn't a lot of awesome in that one, but anyway, it's funny.
All right, and Glynis Gold's awesome sauce is, Morgan, can you lower it? Wendell lowers the shotgun even more curiously at Morgan.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
as well.
That was fun.
All right, going on to our awesome sauce. Mark, what do you got?
Just the pure wackiness of the episode. Honestly, I didn't take this one too seriously as I was watching it. So, you know, with Morgan falling asleep in the truck as it took him to Mississippi, Wendell and Sarah and how they interact with Morgan, Jimbo's love of beer and his philosophy how we'll bring the world together, plus the samurai Morgan with the sign to get away from the walkers after he was stranded on the car. It just reminded me a lot of Carol at that time when she was just outside of the kingdom and she was whacking him with the street sign.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Kyle, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, because I did get a second rewatch, and like while there was some fun stuff with the episode, yeah, I wasn't really completely on board. But I just the woman at the end of the episode, I love Pekins, like I love her as an actress, and it was after kind of a letdown with Stranford's character Jimbo, because I feel like. He was going to be the baddie, but then seeing her at the end, I kind of, you know, I'm kind of feel like that she's going to be the baddie that we've been told we were getting. And I just love her. And just the way she came off, I was like, okay, this is awesome. I love her.
It's almost like you could have expected Aaron Stanford to either be the bad guy or the good guy, like another hero type. But instead, he's more like a Eugene for beer.
No, totally. It was like
you know, without the witticisms, you know. Yeah. the character, what do you call it, the speech effects and all of that kind of stuff. But similar. The mile marker saving Morgan. So that was kind of said before, but not specifically. So, and the other thing I had down, somebody already said. So let's move on to the weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right, Mark, you've got the first one.
PB and Zane says, Momo, really?
I don't think Judy liked Momo.
Yeah, no. All right. Cheryl Fox's weak sauce says, where do I start? The introduction of Jim and his whole philosophy of beer will bring the world together. When Morgan saves Jim, all he could do was say, how long does it take to run across a field? Really? Not a thank you in sight? Not a good start for me to like this character.
Yeah, I have to say, good point on that, Cheryl. Good old Jimbo didn't seem all that sympathetic when he did that.
No, not at all.
No empathy.
Steve Brown is next. He says, why use the juice to power the neon signs? Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm.
That whole room, I was like, okay, that's a lot of lights. Yeah, neon signs. Like, where's this power coming from?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
We'll get more into that when it's my turn. So,
okay.
All right. Next.
Claire Redderer says, I was excited for the new characters, and then they let me down. Not only were they not nice, they were kind of boring, too. The lady at the end was super weird.
Yeah, that she was.
Yep. Yeah, I liked it, though.
The homeless riding on zombies.
Yep. Don't you do that?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
You can't take your notes. All right. And Glennis Gold, she says, on her weak sauce, I'm not sure, but Jim's bag over his head could have been easily dislodged. But maybe he was in such a panic trying to run and dodge the walkers, he wasn't thinking clearly.
And he sure was kicking, though.
Oh, no. I almost put that in my awesome sauce because he really played very like, yeah, what would you do if you couldn't see, but you've got all these walkers around you? You got to do anything. Yeah, that was awesome. And then run, Morgan, run. This time he may... This time he may have finally made up his mind and will stick with going back to Texas and not flip-flop about this time around and round up his gang there and then head for Virginia. I mean, Morgan needs to see Rick again before Rick disappears over the horizon.
It's kind of funny that she said and not flip-flop. Did you notice the name of the truck stop?
Yeah.
Flip-flop, yeah.
The flip-flop truck stop. With the best mud pies in Mississippi. Something like that.
Yeah. I think.
All right. A lot of foreshadowing in that name as far as this episode, because I saw a lot of flip-flopping.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, what do you have for your own weak sauce?
Jim/Augie, you know, I don't know, going on and on about beer, his history of beer and how it's created civilizations going through the Romans and... I don't know. It was just weird. I think he was practicing a sermon for an alcoholic. Like poor old Bob from The Walking Dead. You know, Bob, who got his leg eaten. That it can be used as a bartering tool, honestly, for alcoholics, maybe. Or maybe even the saviors at the sanctuary, if they get to Virginia.
Well, I have to say, I disagree with you on that. I actually liked them establishing beer, because if you go back into history, you'll find out that alcohol and, you know, most typically beer, some wine and that, but that was what people drank. And the reason was that actually was a liquid that wasn't contaminated, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could drink beer and not worry about getting poisoned, you know, or getting dysentery or whatever you normally get from contaminated water, because the process of making it into beer would sterilize it, you know? So, anyway, he does make a lot of sense there. Like beer and wine and spirits in general have had a big history, and the recent fort, like I say, is literally it is a water purifier, a nutrient as well. So there is reason for it. So I like this. We don't think about beer in the same way. We just think about, you know, going to a bar and, you know, slamming them back. But in the old days, beer actually had a lot of purpose. Like, you know, children would drink beer, you know.
Well, maybe I guess that's why Strand likes to drink a lot.
My style and vintage, or in, you know, he would probably like the hipster brews. Like, it sounds like Jim was all about. All right, Kyle, what do you have?
All right. My weak sauce was just kind of about Morgan wanting to go back to Texas after he basically was already halfway back to Alexandria. You know, like, and it's like, why wouldn't he tell them where it was? It's like Rick and their group are not going to let Wendell, Sarah, and Jimbo get away with anything. And they have a truck and they have beer making equipment. I mean, like, they could, he could take them to Rick and they could join the community, you know? Like, I don't see them that threatening. And, you know, so to me, it was just kind of like him holding back that information didn't really make any sense to me. And then the other part was Morgan driving the car when he picked up Jimbo. It's like, why did he need to go back to the other two and take their truck to go to Alexandria? Like, he already had a car that was full of gas that he'd been driving around. Couldn't he just keep going?
Yeah. you actually brought up some points that I was going to bring up.
And well, you can elaborate if you need to.
Well, put it this way. I think the rest of the podcast will be spent in my weak sauce. So I brought this up in my rating, but the biggest part of the whole episode fell apart in the cold open to me, because it makes no sense. And I don't care how tired Morgan is. And maybe I am sensitive to this because 2 months ago, I drove like 1,200 miles or so from Cleveland to Tampa, Florida in a very noisy truck. And I'm sorry, but knowing how noisy that truck was and how bumpy it was, and especially with this being an apocalypse, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to sleep in that back of the truck for two states without waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I was trying to figure out, like, how far did they go? They went at least 300 miles, if not quite a bit more, to get to Mississippi from Texas. So I'm sorry. It just, like, that a 300 mile trip, that's like, you know, about 5 or 6 hours, you know, at a good, in good roads. Mm-hmm. In the apocalypse, that was probably like half a day, you know, at least. And it bothered me all the way through. It still bothers me. Like, 2 days later, I think about the episode and I get so hung up over this one point that it completely ruins the whole episode for me. I don't get Twins or Jim. Are they friends or foes? I don't understand their motivations. And that's the other part of this. So why did they let Morgan leave? Like, what were they going to do if Morgan hadn't contacted them back? Like, I just don't get it. As soon as he comes back, they're like all interested in going to Alexandria. Well, what were they going to do before? You know, like, if they were so interested in going, why did they let him leave?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just stay at the truck stop? They have power there. I mean, God, they're like wasting all the power in the stupid neon signs. They had power. They had running water. They had supplies. Why leave there? Okay? Makes no sense.
And they had toilet paper.
And they had toilet paper and actual flushing toilets.
Yeah.
And reading materials. I mean, come on. and you know, so then they just do what Morgan tells them to and drop off the boxes like, you know, they're they have all the best of intentions when we know that they don't. And if it's Augie's beer, why is he Jim? Like,
that is weird.
He lived on his own the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
That,
how did he not get bit?
Yeah. Why did Sarah and Wendell leave Jim behind if they wanted the beer so damn bad? Again, makes no sense. And if he wanted to bring beer to a new civilization, why was he alone the whole time?
Yeah.
You know, what was his plan before they grabbed him? It's like suddenly he brought up this whole plan. It just makes no sense. The last part that I had, and then there's probably more. I'll think of more things. I really didn't like this episode. Plot, people, plot. If your truck is stuck in what's essentially a big pothole, okay, and you have to lighten the load to get your truck out. So let's take all of what they said literally and you know, suspend the disbelief. But after you get out of that pothole, wouldn't you just put all the stuff back in the truck?
Yes, you would.
Especially if you want to make the beer to barter with.
Right.
Okay. Am I being unnecessarily hard in this episode?
No,
I'm not. Okay. I'm sorry, but this is another one of these episodes that I could sit here and say, I could have written a better episode than this piece of crap. I'm sorry. Look, you know, I love this show. Okay. I love Fear. I love The Walking Dead, but I'm not really happy in the direction that it's going here. And especially this episode could have been so much better and actually been structured in much the same way, but not be so full of these holes. That's what I'm saying. I think there's actually more that I could say for week, but I'm going to leave that and move on to sad sauce.
No, and that was one of the things about the truck was like, they were, because Morgan and Jimbo were talking in the back. That's when he was giving the whole beer spiel. And like, just listening to the sound of the truck, it was like they were moving. Like they were not turning corners or going slow. So I don't understand how that they hit a pothole and got stuck in it when you think the momentum of that big ass truck would, oops, sorry.
That, no, that's okay. That one's okay. All right. You can say big ass truck.
Okay. That big ass truck would not have just went right through that whatever pothole. It did not look like it was that stuck.
Okay. So I'm just looking at my notes and I missed a big one here. So what exactly were these two doing before they stole the truck? Like,
yeah,
it sounds like they were truck drivers and they were doing stuff, but obviously they weren't, because Wendell couldn't even say keep on trucking, you know?
I know.
Like, you just move on your truck. It's like,
yeah, no, it's like he was like messing up his story. Like, you know, like he wasn't, because she would jump it. Nope, keep on trucking.
And yet they knew the roads and all this stuff. So I don't get it. It's like, what were these two doing before? Like, when you think about that, you think about the rest of the story and the fact that they had grifted their way into this truck. I don't understand these two. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. What they're doing. I don't, like I said, I don't understand their motivations, because I don't understand what these two were doing. Obviously they were living, but how they were living if they weren't doing this before, because the story doesn't make any sense.
Unless that is something to be, you know, revealed.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the only thing I can think of too. I was like, they're truckers. Maybe they were trying to, they found all those supplies and they started finding out this guy's network or whatever, whoever, and they were trying to like steal it or like, you know, but we weren't given that information.
No.
and it was very disjointed about just like, they were almost like chummy chum, Morgan.
Yeah.
We'll give you stuff to get on your road. Oh, you're going where? Well, we want to know where, you know. Yeah, it was like all over the place. Yeah.
All right. I was hoping you guys could bring up my mark. Am I bringing down yours?
I'll just say it just all here. Like, I enjoyed the characters, the humor, just like kind of the flow of just how the funny parts of it, this and that. But then when you actually really thought about the episode and started looking at the plots, then it all fell apart. But
yeah, and that's my take on it. Like, watching it at the time, you know, I liked the episode in the moment better from moment to moment.
Right.
But when I think about the story as a whole, it's got all these like holes, like, but it was acted well. I liked the characters. I liked, you know, the scenes in it. And you know, one thing I didn't say for an awesome sauce, but I liked Morgan's escape too, but it's like the story is on a it's built on a house of cards, so to speak.
Yeah. I was just typing it,
and
like
Kevin
Spacey
was not involved.
Oh, too soon. No. Anyways, let's
I didn't know what to play for that, but anyways
let's move on.
All right, sad sauce.
Cheryl Fox says Morgan's struggle with what to do, go back to his new friends or go back to his old friends. His struggle was something we can all relate to, I'm sure.
And you had a sad sauce yourself, I see. Actually, we all did.
Yeah, my sad sauce was Morgan lying about the bridge. It was kind of a breakdown, a letdown to him. And I think that's what really was the center of the story, because he turned his back on Alicia and John and Strand and do I really want to mention that kid? and then he's still thinking. It's like he's feeling Minnesota, but looking California, you know?
Yeah.
You mean he was feeling Virginia, whatever. I had this point, in my what sauce. So I'll just say in here that, I didn't understand why he lied about that point. From a plot perspective, it didn't seem to make any sense. And I didn't understand from a character either. Like, so they knew that he lied about it, but I don't see in the end how that paid off in any way.
I thought it was a breakdown of the character, kind of like, when he just learned and had to deal with the cheesemaker and
or
regret, you know,
or
you know what it is.
and then my sad sauce, even though we didn't see her, but it's still sad, is that Charlie's still alive. I was having a hard time finding a sadness to this episode other than, we didn't see her, but we know she's still alive.
She still exists.
I don't think I made the point very well, but this...
You know what it is.
What we saw on the bridge was basically his demons, his past talking to himself again. So that's why it's similar to the, you know what it is, except that they're not dead talking to him. Well, I did have a sad sauce for Morgan, and it's the fact that he seemed to, evident that he has lost his bow staff. So I thought that was kind of sad for him. So, all right, we have what sauce?
What?
Mark?
Steve Brown says, Morgan was ungrace about going back to Virginia or not, trusting and not trusting people, and what is happening with him altogether. Who's Mitch? Who's Polar Bear?
Well, Mitch was Morgan. you know, that was Wendell not getting his name right. But I'm not sure who Polar Bear is. And I also noticed that Sarah mentioned a Stevie. So I don't know. Is Polar Bear Stevie? I don't know. But is Polar Bear the dead guy? Or is Polar Bear CB handle? Because that kind of sounds like a Polar Bear CB handle thing, you know?
This on my second rewatch, whenever that whole scene, I thought, like, it just struck in my mind, like, Polar Bear was like, oh, Morgan sleeping in the back of the truck as, like, hibernating. But I'm totally making a stretch, but that did pop in my mind, be like, did, you know, like, he just got out of that truck. I don't know if there's any, you know, if that, you know, I might be trying to find that plot point that was never there, but I just, it crossed my mind going, like, is this person watching Morgan?
Mm-hmm. That's what it seemed like.
That's the only thing that crossed my mind of who this, because that other person was obviously the woman we saw at the end.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, next, Cheryl Fox, her what sauce was, Wendell can't even talk like a trucker. And they left Morgan there to die on top of that car. What the heck? True.
Indeed. What the heck? Claire Redderer's next, and she called this weird sauce, but I put this in what sauce because I think that is what she intended. And she said this entire episode.
What?
What?
Indeed.
Yep.
Glennis Galt says, Morgan actually lied?
That he did.
Yep.
Let's transition to do our what sauce. So, Mark.
I would say Morgan's long walks. I kept waiting to hear the Lonely Man theme from the original Incredible Big Bill Bigsby. I'm like waiting for it. Where is it?
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right. And my what sauce was Morgan at the start when he wakes up after the storm. Like, when he first got into the truck, you know, it's like it's dark. He turns on the lamp and then does his thing, gets food, falls asleep. But then when he wakes up, there's like this overhead light above him, like the skylight. And I mean, I get maybe they were just trying to, you know, show that it was the next day. But, you know, what semi-truck has a skylight?
You would be surprised. There are actually trucks now that they build them with skylights because it's an economic way of providing lighting. I have seen it before.
Okay.
So
I just didn't, it was kind of still light out when he got into the back of the truck when it was raining, but you never saw anything above him till the morning.
Okay. So for mine, can you guys explain this to me? Morgan's in a car, right? And he gets to the bridge and he starts walking from the bridge. And, you know, then he calls him back and comes back. And then he's in the same car.
When he first got the car, I noticed this too. He first got the car, there was a tree down and a walker underneath it. And he, you know, dispatched that walker. But then from there, instead of like moving the tree out of the way, he left the car and started walking. And then that's when he gets to the bridge, and then that's when he decides that I'm not going back and calling everybody, and then he must have walked back to where he left the car and then got the car and went to go meet up with them, because they did say, like, oh, meet us at whatever, this place, mile marker, or whatever. But that's my thing, too. I was like, it didn't look like it was that big of a tree. Like, you could have moved it. I mean, I get maybe he's still hurt, but you can use the car to move the freaking tree.
I appreciate you explaining that to me, because that was a piece that I didn't understand, but that makes total sense. Okay, so the person that he's talking to at the truck stop, who was that? Because I don't think it was the crazy woman at the end.
That's what I thought.
That's same here. I thought that.
But you thought it was the crazy woman at the end?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell. But when I did rewatch it, something like that, I felt like it sounded like her, and I just don't see why there are two trucker characters would be saying what they she said. They seem to, you know, we find out that they took over this guy's truck and like are stealing stuff or like acting like it. But that person sounded like whoever's truck this was, or I don't know. But I thought it was her.
Mm. So who the heck is she? Like the dead guy, is the dead guy the guy that's been that was spreading these all around, or? See, that's what I don't understand.
It's right. Like, it's
how did this? How many people are involved with this? Is it all just this crazy woman in the end, or is
like, or is there a network of people?
Yeah. And right. how does Wendell and Sarah fit into this? I think they don't. But then I don't understand their story. It's just.
It's a lot for the idea to think that there was this one guy, and maybe if that's his wife or just whatever, that were setting up all these boxes to leave for people and, you know, doing all this stuff. Because, you know, she's like, what truck stop are you at? And he's all like, oh, I think in Mississippi. Oh, that's our farthest one.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it seemed a lot like that, whatever this network is, seems to be a lot for just two people to be handling.
Mm-hmm. I can't reiterate any more. I feel like I'm like beating this episode down to death, but that's not my intention. It's just not a very well written plot, you know. And to me, that like if some actors had been involved with this one that weren't at the same caliber, I think I would have had even more of a problem with this particular one. But it being like built around Lenny James, you know, gave it a solid foundation. But even he couldn't carry Lil Winter's son, you know, and he's not able to carry, you know, an entire walk, you know, fear episode if the story doesn't make sense. So, all right. Anyway, I feel like I'm I don't like being overly negative. So I'm having problems with myself in this episode, you know, but it's, I go back to No Way Out, the mid-season premiere from season 6 of the main show, which I love that episode, but there were some podcasters that went absolutely nuts on the light to dark transition that happened in the early in the episode, where it was light and then it was dark. But and they like I one podcast in particular talked about this point for 20 minutes, and that I thought was ridiculous, because that was such a minor thing in what was an outstanding story. But the things that I'm criticizing here, that's not a color, you know, or too much light thing. These are serious issues, structural problems with the story, you know? So I feel justified by what I have to say. And it's, you know, I think I've become overly analytical since my job transition. I think that's what it all comes down to. I'm more critical of things right now. All right, let's get to feedback.
Yes.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, our first thing is from PB and Zane. And Mark, will you take that for us?
PB and Zane says, got some feedback in on time, finally. A protein bar over a candy bar. I know it's the apocalypse, but hey, Morgan, what have you got to lose? Have some fun. I will need to watch it again if I can, but wasn't Morgan filling up a car with stuff? Then he is walking towards the bridge. What happened to the car? Oh, wait, never mind. He's in the car, but wasn't he walking? I'm confused. Guys, don't do that to this old lady's mind. I swear there are no nice people left in the world. And just when you think that something will change, Maybe Morgan can make a difference. Bam! You get a Purvis and that crazy lady. I like the episode. I like the twist at the end. I'm kind of hoping that they combine the two shows. It may save one of them.
That whole thought of combining the two episodes keeps coming up more and more, it seems. You know, especially when you've got a character from The Walking Dead that's talking about going back. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We know that it won't happen right away because this show has been renewed. So,
Yeah. That's.
Or they could go off. Like, they could go there and then move on.
Or they could actually get to Alexandria and them tell like a parallel story within, you know, Virginia. They're, you know, instead of it being like centered around, I don't know, the Whisperers or something, suddenly it's stories from this new perspective on that, or, you know, it's kind of like the shared the DC universe and the big crossover thing they seem to be doing every season now.
So basically like on NBC, Dick Wolf combination of Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, and Chicago Med.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I can see that. That's kind of, all right.
Yes. It's the Walking Dead Special Victims Unit. let's move on.
All right. We go on to Steve Brown. He says, the woman at the end seems to be the same one that was on the radio earlier. We still don't know who was leaving the boxes. Even after the second watch, I'm confused of the timeline. Morgan got into the truck in Texas. They stopped in Mississippi. Then they started to Virginia. Then Morgan headed back to Texas. He then rejoined them on the road to Virginia after lying about the bridge. Then they threw Morgan off the road and they headed to Virginia. Did they figure out they had the wrong directions and come back for Morgan? Now they are all headed back to Texas, right? That confused
That's
me.
That's what it seems to be. But yeah, I had a lot of the same thoughts that I've already shared. All right, Cheryl. She's next. She says, the only reason for this episode was to introduce three new characters. Not sure this was a good way to do that. I am very suspicious of the new people. I don't believe a word they have said. I don't trust them. They seem very seedy and way too happy to go to Alexandria. That would be interesting because I don't think Daryl and Maggie, Carol and Rick would put up with their shenanigans. And what made them actually do what Morgan wanted at the end with leaving the boxes? Exactly. I don't get it either. So, Cheryl, we're very much in agreement, I think, with this episode. All right, next.
Glennis Galt says, this was a very good episode. Really enjoyed the interaction between Sarah, Wendell, Jim, and Morgan. Morgan, I think, changed their way of thinking to do good, though it's sad that the trucker who did all the good is dead and something else Morgan will have to deal with. The new villain, that woman introduced, is sure going to put some spanners in the works, and they're heading into a trap in Texas. Since she's off the original trucker that was distributing the boxes of goodies and writes on his face, what he represents does is now also on her way to Texas. And from the Fear the Walking Dead trailer explains, maybe who was doing the writing on the faces. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which Morgan gets subjected to in the next later episode, going by the season 4B trailer, and the woman who or whoever did it must have seen Al's tapes too already. Which I don't think so.
Hmm. And by the way, spoiler.
As Morgan in that 4B trailer had the following scrawled across his face of, I lose people and then I lose myself. So, yeah, it wasn't Strand. So, all in all, interesting how all that will come about, seeing as Al and June are front and center in the next episode. And they are bottling these episodes with a pair of people, or at this point, it was just Morgan meeting new people. But
now, according to the preview, though, it looked like Morgan is in this next episode. So I think it might be like a half bottle, like an AB, which we did see in TWD 4B. There were examples of like complete standalone episodes and one where they had like two or three stories. And I think this next one, I don't think they're going to have us completely watch Althea and June, because I don't know if those two are ready to carry an entire story, you know, by themselves. Because I mean, Alicia was, because we've been following her, you know, for 3.5+ seasons, and of course Morgan is because we've been following him from Walking Dead. But Althea and June are both new characters that we haven't bonded with to the same extent, so I don't think they could carry a whole episode themselves.
Yeah, agree.
And I don't think we're going to see Strand and John Dory next episode either. That might come the following episode after that. I don't know. We'll see.
Is that the one that Coleman Domingo
directed? Coleman Domingo directed the next episode.
Oh, okay.
So this one coming up, which we know has Al and June in it, and it seems like maybe Morgan's in it too.
Yeah, I think Morgan is in it, because then he also sees the new mysterious woman.
Right. So it seems like, you know, it's going to be an AB plot. So we'll see. But all right, let's move on to our own notes here. Mark, what have you got?
I think I might have mentioned this before, but how has Jimbo survived all this time without killing a walker or not being bitten? It doesn't make any sense.
I kind of was agreeing with that too. I wrote it down. It was just like he's been holding up in this brewery this whole entire time, like
just drinking beer
or making beer. But you know, it's like, you know, it's been several years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, so, he'll live on just beer.
Right. And then I know he mentioned that he was growing hops and stuff on it, like whatever he could on his roof. But like, how many people have been probably scavenging? You know, it's not like we don't know. Is he in some so isolated place, but then he's known for his beer? So that would think that his brewery's like here in Chicago, where it's like it's on a major street. Mm-hmm, yeah. Or, you know, everybody knows about it, and you're just going to hold up there? I just didn't get it. Or he's lying.
I think he's lying.
Yeah. Is that it for both of you?
Yep. Yeah. Everybody else said pretty much all the same stuff.
Yep. I like the opening credits again. The truck driving away, and we see hurricane debris in the foreground. That little scene with the walker getting like pecked by crows and then of course getting run over by the truck reminded me of Game of Thrones. just to see the crows. It was more obvious to me that Sarah and Wendell were lying on second watch. It wasn't as obvious the first time, but you know, after watching the plot, you know, unravel, it's like, oh, okay, that's why he didn't get to keep on trucking, because he wasn't a trucker. Because originally I'm thinking, oh, he must be driving, you know, maybe he's got like the rigs all set up to handle, you know, handicap driving and stuff like that, you know, or he's the navigator, or, you know, but it's like, nope.
Yeah.
Why did Morgan seem surprised when Wendell and Sarah mentioned the hurricane?
I got that too.
Yeah.
I guess he was like, oh, the last thing he knew, he was in a storm, and maybe you just didn't realize that that's what it was, but
Jimbo was obviously pretty single-minded about beer. like that's the only thing you think of. But yeah, it's like these characters were very like flip floppy. That's the best way you could. The name of the truck stop was very fitting because you know, they seem bad and then they seem good and then they seem sort of good, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like all three of them were kind of didn't seem to be that good to me. You know, just weird. I had watched earlier on Sunday part of the movie Limitless. So Morgan's escape, when he was looking around at things and looking at this and look at that, reminded me of Limitless. There's a couple of scenes like that when the characters would think because, you know, they took the drug, which, you know, made them be able to access 100% of their brain. It was fresh in my mind, so it reminded me of that. Wanted to give you an update on AMC Premiere. One thing I noticed that I didn't notice last week, you can't see past seasons, which I think is kind of lame. You'd think that you'd get a little bit more than that if, you know, you're paying $5 a month. You're really only getting the episodes from the current season. And maybe that's a contractual thing, but it's still kind of dumb to me.
I mean, it's their own app. Like, you can't get old episodes of Fear. Yeah.
Yeah. I am still seeing authentication issues, which I have to think is on Spectrum. But like, for example, today I wanted to watch the episode at lunch. I had downloaded it from home on my phone. So that's one thing that you can do on your like phone or tablet, is you can download the episodes to your device. And I couldn't watch them on my lunch break because it wouldn't authenticate. And it wouldn't even let me play the episode. And I'm like, come on. Does that mean that I have to be in my home to watch the show? I mean, that's kind of crazy. And again, I don't know if I have to point the blame at AMC here or Spectrum. And the reason why I say I might think it's Spectrum is because I've had other issues with other apps with Spectrum. So I am kind of not liking that too much. Like AMC Premiere wouldn't work through my browser either, which I thought was one of the things, but it didn't work. I couldn't actually download the AMC app from this other laptop that I'm using. Listeners, I'm using a different laptop tonight than I had normally done because there was an awful fan noise from the old laptop and I was getting sick of having to deal with it. And there were some problems with the recording you may have noticed last week. So I tried to fix it, but unfortunately we got other problems with this PC this week. So that didn't work so much. So maybe I'll do another GoFundMe. I don't know, but anyway, so I couldn't even download the AMC app on this laptop. So I don't know if they just stopped supporting it, but because I have it on the other laptop, but I don't have it on this one. Anyway, that's it. Let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
It has been a little bit of a tendency, a trend, that I have to say that the ratings this week were at a new low, but unfortunately they're at a new low. But the decline wasn't as sharp as it had been. It seems like it might be leveling off at this point. So Fear the Walking Dead season 4 episode 11 got a 0.61 in the 18 to 49 with 1.827 million viewers. That compares to last week, which was a 0.63. So not much difference, and 1.855 million viewers. So like I say, it's down, but it's really slight. It's not a lot of, not a big decline this week, thankfully. Talking Dead actually did better this week. It got a 0.12 in the 18 to 49 with 425,000 viewers. That's down, or sorry, that's up from last week's, which was actually really low at a 0.09, 18 to 49 with 411,000 viewers. So slight improvement, you know, good for it, but not so good for the main show. One piece of info from this episode, the concept of take what you need, leave what you don't, which we actually, I think, saw in the mid-season premiere, was originally going to be in the season premiere. But it, I don't know if it got edited out. I don't know if it got shot or not, but it wasn't in the final version of the episode. But apparently, Morgan was supposed to come across one of these boxes while he was on his way to Texas. And that was mentioned, I think it was in Talking Dead, but either that or I read it somewhere. So some news, we got some casting news of a couple of things. First of all, Kim Dickens is employed again. So she has been cast in a pilot for a Showtime show, which is titled, currently at least, Queen Fur. And I guess she is playing the mother of, I don't know if it's the queen, but supposedly the lead character, she is playing the mother of that lead. So she, it's a main character on there, but also in the pilot, I believe he has an ongoing role if the pilot makes the series, Joshua Michael, who, if you don't recognize the name, you probably recognize the name of Jared, aka Evil Jesus. You know, that yeah. Swarmy character that Morgan end up killing in the third to last episode of season 8. If you recall, mm-hmm. he died in a very gruesome way. But anyway, he and I mentioned a couple weeks back that at Walker Stalker Con Orlando, I didn't get to interview him, but I did get to talk to him like personally, and he's a really nice guy. I was happy to see that he had been cast in this because, you know, I think he did a tremendous job as Jared, you know, like this character that you had to hate, but you know, he did it in such a way that you kind of love to hate him. So I just hope that this works out for him, and I'd love to see him as the next thing. So we have some casting news of TWD for so if you may hear this and think it's a spoiler, so. Just we had mentioned before that Samantha Morton had been cast as Alpha, and Alpha is the leader of the Whisperers from the comic. And we have two more Whisperer related cast announcements. Cassidy McClincy has been cast as the daughter of Alpha, Lydia. And I know in the comic book, obviously, this isn't going to happen in the series because, you know, Carl's dead, but I believe Lydia and Carl had a relationship. Is that not true?
Yes, it is true.
Yeah. I haven't gotten that far, but that's what I heard too.
Yeah. And, just announced, I think it was yesterday, Ryan Hurst has been cast as the second in command Beta of the Whisperers. And you may know Ryan from Opie. He was the character Opie from Sons of Anarchy. Yep. And I watched some of Sons of Anarchy. I think I didn't get all the way through season one. I liked the show, but I just never kept up on it. But I know a lot of people really like that character. And I know that he also has appeared at several Walker Stalker cons. So it's kind of ironic that he's already been at zombie conventions. And yeah. Now he's going to be on The Walking Dead. So,
well, they've had Sons of Anarchy reunions at Walker Stalker.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that's it for our news, ratings, and info this week. So, Kyle, to submit your feedback, why don't you tell the listeners how they can do that?
All right. To submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio or use the SpeakPipe widget. Call 304-837-2278. Or like most people, post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. And you can find that at www.facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And the deadline for submitting feedback next episode is Tuesday, September 4th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. And you can also find us on Twitter at WalkingDeadGSM.
If you want to support us, the best way you can do it is to subscribe to our podcast in whatever podcast client that you choose to use. If you are on a client that supports reviews and ratings, some do, I know. We, for example, on Apple Podcasts, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple, and that will take you to all of the Golden Spiral Media podcasts that are out there. And I know there is a Castle Rock Zone that is active right now. I don't know what other, some of the other like non, like there's the Rewatch podcast, and there's a few that are going on right now. And then of course, come September, several of them will be back. But, you know, you can find all of the ones that we have there. And there are other ways to support us. Go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And I have been saying this for a few episodes now, but the Star Trek Discovery podcast will have an episode soon. Unfortunately, this week I was busy with some other things and didn't get to record the episode. I'm hoping to try to do it before people disperse for the Labor Day weekend. So I'm hoping to get it recorded in the next few days. I can't promise I will, but we'll see. If not, then I'll try again, you know, week after Labor Day, I guess. And Mark, what have you got going on your podcast?
Well, everybody could actually check me out on Panels to Pixels. That could be found on Next Level Network podcast. That's about it.
All right. Now, should mention the next episode. Normally, they take, well, I know like last season, for example, they took the Labor Day weekend off. But despite that, there will be an episode next week, not just of us, but of the show. So, you know, keep that in your Labor Day plans. Season 4, episode 12, hopefully isn't a foreshadowing of the episode itself, but it is titled Week. It is written by Kalinda Vasquez and directed by Coleman Domingo, who, of course, you know, is Strand. The description is, June helps when Al's health deteriorates. Wonder what happens there.
Yeah.
Maybe she gets hurt in the hurricane or something.
Or ate bad kimchi.
Yeah. Morgan, search for friends lost in the storm. Well, there you go. That even in the description, Morgan's mentioned, so he'll be there. All right. So that's it. We actually got through this episode quite a bit faster than last week. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.